Blog Talk Radio.
Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple. Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple. Deliverance Ministries at Miracle Temple, where Christ lives in me.
Welcome to Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Apostle Amanda Walker Bryant wants to make sure you get all that you need through the Word of God. Let us join Apostle Bryant as she teaches the infallible Word of God.
Go with me to Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. And if you get to Ezra, pass Ezra and then go to Nehemiah. And I will begin at the third verse. Nehemiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 3 and ending at verse 4. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. I want to talk about on this morning a burden bearer. A burden bearer. When we look at a burden, it's a heavy load and it's a weight. And a bearer is one that carries that heavy load. God had put this on my heart when I was sitting before him, and I believe that God is bringing this into this house because some of us are carrying heavy loads. We are carrying burdens, but I thank God that he has burden bearers. He has people that can carry that load for you when that load gets too heavy for you to bear. And we know that in the Word of God that Jesus carried our burdens. He carried our griefs. He carried our sorrows. He carried our sicknesses. He carried our sins. Jesus carried it all for us. So when we go through certain situations in our lives, we should know that God has already taken care of that through Jesus Christ. But how many know that when you go through a financial burden, that's a burden. That's a heavy load for some of us because we feel at times, Lord, if I don't do this, nobody else will. Lord, I don't have nobody else to depend on to get this money from. I don't have nobody to be there for me when I'm going through financially. I don't have no one to go to if I have to be put outdoors. God, I just don't have no one. And the more you think about that financial burden, the more heavier it gets, the more weight it becomes. And not only with a financial burden, you know, some people are burdened with sicknesses. You know, there's a heavy load on you saying, God, I don't want to die at a young age. God, I'm not ready to die. I'm not ready to depart this life. And, you know, you become heavy and it becomes a load because you become weary and you become worried about what's going on in your body. What are the doctors going to say? How are they going to handle this? What am I going to do? I can't leave my children. Everything begins to be a weight that's upon you. So when God had given me this, he's let me know to tell you today that you have to cast all your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. When that scripture say cast all your cares, that means to roll them over upon him. That means to give them to him, knowing that he's already taking care of that concern. He's already taking care of that worry. He's taking care of it even before it popped up, even before it became a heavy load. He said, my yoke is easy, but my burden is light. But above that, it says, learn of me. See, when we learn of him, when we learn the things that he's already done for us, we can cast those cares. We can roll those cares over to him. In the Word of God, it says in Psalm 68:19, it tells us that he has loaded us with benefits. When I looked at that verse of scripture, you know, we always look at, oh, he have loaded me with benefits. But actually that verse of scripture means that God is carrying our load. He's carrying our heavy load day by day. That's what it means that he have loaded us with benefits, that no matter what we go through day by day, he's already carried that. He's already been through that. He's already made a way for us. And the Bible says that God will put no more on us than we could bear. So our problem is we're not in tune with what he's already done. So as I began to look at Nehemiah, and as I began to study Nehemiah, and I love the book of Nehemiah because it shows a lot of things that this servant of God took upon himself, but he could not take it upon him if God hadn't given it to him. See, God will give you a burden. He'll give you a burden for someone. He'll give you a burden for the nation. He'll give you a burden for souls. And whatever burden God gives you, don't you know that God knows what you can carry? Don't you know that God already knows what you can do? So what happened with Nehemiah, when he heard about his people, these were the Jews, and when he heard about how they were in distress, how, you know, they were going through and the walls of Jerusalem were burnt down, the Bible said when he heard. See, the thing that we miss is we hear a lot of things concerning a lot of people. We hear a lot of things that's going on in families, like sickness, like financial situations, whatever it may be. We have heard it because God has sent somebody. See, this is the problem. If God sends you someone to tell you something concerning someone else, evidently God knows there's something you can do. Let me say it again. If God send someone to you to tell you about something someone else is going through, God sent them to you because he knew that you could handle it. He knew that you had means of taking care of what he has sent them to you to do. But we got a problem in that area because we will send them somewhere else. God don't allow you to hear things just for those things to be heard in your ears. Come on, I'm telling you, when I began to understand what carrying a burden is or being a burden bearer, you're not through with that burden until it's done. And some of us want to get rid of how we feel, but God will put that on you to let you know there's somebody going through, and I want you to take the time to be a Nehemiah today. I want you to take the time to do like Nehemiah did. The first thing Nehemiah did when he heard, and I say, God, okay, I see that Nehemiah heard, and we hear a lot of things. And the Bible say when you hear, don't only be a hearer, but the Bible say be a doer. And when you are a doer, you're walking in the faith of God because you're not sitting up there hearing something and not ready to react to what you heard. I say, God, why aren't we reacting to what we hear? And I'm going to go over that, but God said the first thing Nehemiah had to have was compassion. Compassion means you having pity. You having sympathy. But when I looked up that word compassion in the Greek, it's like a yearning of your bowels. Everybody know how it is when your bowels on the inside is yearning. You're ready to empty yourself out from the inside out. So that means that it's an inward, a deep feeling that you're having on the inside, like I have to do something for this person. There's something that has to be done. So there's a yearning, an inward yearning that you're showing that compassion. You're showing that pity. You're showing that sympathy. Now, someone that just do it just to be doing it, you ain't doing anything. Because when compassion hits your life, there is a yearning. There's a deep yearning on the inside where you can't rest until you get done what has been put upon you to do. This is how it was for Nehemiah. He had a compassion for those people. I want to ask the body of Christ, where is your compassion today? Some of us, we hear about things that people are going through in their life, and it go in one ear and it go out another. Oh, well, it just isn't me. We don't take the time to stop and just say, well, wait a minute, Lord. What if that was me? What if I was in the situation that they were in? We don't take the time to say, can I bring you something? Can I help you with something? But Nehemiah, when he heard about the Jews, those were the covenant people of God. He heard how they were left in Jerusalem the way that they were left. And he said, they're not even protected. So he began to cry out for them. And then in the Word of God, he began to show me about having compassion. Go to Matthew 9:36. And Matthew 9:36, it says that, I'm going to read the King James first. It said, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. When we look at being moved with compassion, that's that yearning of the bowels. That's showing pity. That's showing sympathy. It's something that's happening deep on the inside that moves you. Move means you're ready to do something concerning what you're seeing, concerning what you heard. It said he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. When we look at the word fainted, when I was reading another version of the Bible, it says that when he saw the crowds, he felt sorrow and had compassion for them because they were hurting, distressed, confused, and harassed and helpless, discouraged, dejected, like sheep without a shepherd. Look at all of this that those people were going through in this one verse. And when we read that one verse, we just look at, oh, they felt faint. Oh, it's more than just that. It's a lot even in that one verse. This was a heavy load that these people were carrying. This was a heavy load dealing with the cares of life. I don't know about you, but in this world, as long as you're in this world, things are going to pop up. Things are going to occur. Things are going to happen. And it brings on weight. It brings on distress. It makes us feel helpless. Come on, one day you're doing good, your bills are paying. Next day, a storm hit like never before, and you're wondering, where did that come from? I pay my tithes. I do what the Word of God tells me to do. Why am I going through what I'm going through? Why aren't you going through what you're going through? What makes you any different from anybody else because you saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost? And see, these things help make you stronger. They help you to persevere through the storm, through the things that you're going through. And that's what God wants. He wants us to persevere. He wants us to keep going through this storm. But when Jesus saw these people, it said that Jesus had compassion. He had pity on them because they fainted. They were scattered abroad like sheep without a shepherd. And when the Lord began to show me this verse, he was showing me also, do y'all know that religious folk will put heavy burdens on you that you cannot bear? They put heavy demands on you, telling you, this is what you got to do. This is how you got to act. This is how it's supposed to be in the house of God. That's a heavy load. That's a burden. And this is what Jesus was seeing on these people. These people were going by law, but grace was right there in front of them. Grace had already fulfilled the law. Grace had already done everything that needed to be done. So he was showing them, I'm going to show you grace. And this grace that he was showing them was having pity, was having mercy, was having compassion upon them. And this is what God say that we should do. We should have that compassion when we see people. And the thing hurt me so bad because I'm saying, God, why do people look at people but yet don't see them? There's a problem in the house of God. We're the ones that show up on Sunday. We're the ones in Bible study. We're the ones going to every church function. But we don't have that compassion and that pity and that sympathy for the people that God has assigned us to or has sent to us. So when he began to show me that, Jesus did do something. And this is the next part. When Jesus saw how these people were scattered, how he see how the cares of life overwhelm them, how they weighed them down. This is what Jesus said, and this is what we should be doing. Then he said unto his disciples, the harvest is truly, is plenteous, but the labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. So he was saying, this is what you can do. People are scattered. Look at people that don't even bother to go to church. They're scattered all over the place. They're confused. They don't know where to go or what to do or how to do it. But Jesus said, this is what you can do. You can pray for the laborers, that the laborers are sent forth amongst the harvest so these people don't have to be lost, that they don't have to be confused, where they can have a place to go. That's your job. That's your job to get out in the field. That's your job to introduce them scattered abroad wondering where they're going to go. It's so many people that have been in churches that have been so wounded, that have been so hurt because of heavy burdens and heavy loads, and how they're taking out the whips and they're trying to whip you into the place that they want you to be. And you seem like, I can't even go there and feel the love of God because I'm trying to keep up with the Joneses. I'm trying to do this and I'm trying to do that. But Jesus came, and when he came, he was showing that mercy. He was showing that compassion. And that's why the people were crowding to Jesus. Have you wondered why people don't crowd to you? Have you wondered why people don't even knock on your door no more? Are you wondering why, well, Lord, why people always go into this one or that one, but they never come around me? There got to be something that's going on with you that you're not even aware of. But then Jesus began to show me, even in Matthew 14:14, it goes on to say, another verse of scripture, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and here it is again, and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. When that pity came, when that sympathy came, when that yearning from the inward part of him came, Jesus was moved with compassion, and he began to heal the sick. Jesus had compassion on sick folk. He didn't want to see them sick, but he knew he had the power that was within him to heal them. And see, if compassion don't come, you're not even going to heal a fly. And there's a reason why it won't come, and we're going to get to that part. But when I was reading how he was moved with compassion, I had to just stop, and I had to just think about that thing, because I'm saying, God, we hooping and hollering every Sunday. We say we know him. We say that we have a relationship with him, but we're passing by folk. Go with me to Luke 10, and this is what really got me. When I began to read Luke 10, beginning at verse 29. This is what, I believe it was a Pharisee, or it was a certain lawyer stood up, and it says in 29, but he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, this is what Jesus was telling the man, let me go up verse 26. He said unto him, what is written in the law, how readest thou? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbors thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willingly to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? See, what this man was trying to do, he was trying to say, you know, he has kept this law. You know, he felt like he had fulfilled the law within himself. And Jesus answered and said, this is the part that got me. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. Now this is a priest. This priest was one that was helping in the temple. This priest is the one that would stand before God on the behalf of people's sins. This priest passed by this man, and he was on the other side of the road. Come on, where's the compassion? That wasn't good enough. Then the word of God says, and likewise a Levi. A Levi is one that assists the priest in the temple. So it's like a pastor and a co-pastor. Or we may say it's just like Christians. It says, and likewise a Levi, when he was at the place, he came to the place, and look what he done. Came and looked on the man. He had to go on the side the man was on, y'all. And he looked at the man, and this was his response. The Bible says that he looked on him and passed by on the other side. Priest, Levi, come on, we can't condemn these people because some of us, we're priests. We're priests now that we're in Christ Jesus. How many of us is looking on the needs of people and know that there is a need and we pass them by? Come on. We might as well lift hands, toes, fingers, and everything else because, and this is not a shame game or a guilt game. Come on, we do it on a daily basis. When we see an elderly person that needs their house cleaned and know that the house needs to be cleaned, we pass them by. We go look at the house and we turn around and go outside and say, God bless you. Let me pray for you. But the house ain't clean. this one. And then the next thing, look at this. I love this one. But a certain Samaritan. The Jews would not deal with the Samaritans. They were like heathens. They were not like them. They were not in covenant like them, all right? So they wouldn't deal with the Samaritan. As he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. This can't be right. There was a priest, and there was a Levite. By the way, Levites were singing before the Lord, too. There were Levites and there was a priest. Both of them passed this man by. Now, from what I read, they said that the man that was passed by was a Jew. Was one of them. How could they? Just say a Christian passed by a Christian. See that person in distress. See that person in need, but pass them right on by. But the Samaritan came and saw this man. And all of a sudden, he had a yearning. Come on now. He wasn't even part of the covenant. But he had a yearning. He had compassion. He had pity. He had sympathy on this man. And let's see what he done. Because see, when you have pity and you have sympathy, you're going to do something. And it says that this man, and he went to him and bound up his wounds. Come on, he done something. It ain't like this man just ran around to try to get somebody else. He saw the man in need, so it said he bind up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Now, oil and wine was expensive back then. Those were his goods. He bind up his wounds, he poured on oil and wine, and did you know he had the audacity to put the man on his donkey? What's wrong with this man? He did enough. He bind the wounds. Come on, let Jennifer go by and pour some oil. I done bind the wounds. The Bible says that, you know, what is it, somebody water? Right? Somebody plant. Somebody water. My Lord, let God give the increase. Now, I don't plant it. Let somebody else come by and water. But this man said he bind up his wound. He poured in the oil and wine. And then he had the audacity, it says, and set him on his own beast. And this is what he did. And brought him to an inn and took care of him. Let's start right there. Did he not do enough, Apostle? My Lord, the man was laying in the road. He took the man, bound up his wounds, poured his oil and wine upon him, and then he's going to put him on his beast, then he's going to take him to an inn, and then he's going to take care of him. Why did he just leave him there? I done put you in the inn. Now you all right. Do what you got to do. Come on. I know God's talking to somebody. This man did all of this on his own. He didn't call Apostle Amanda. He didn't call Brother James. He didn't call nobody else because he said, this is my assignment. I'm going to use what I have. I ain't calling nobody else for this one. Look at your neighbor and say, quit calling folks. God put you on that assignment. So what's wrong with you? Let's just see life for a minute. So this is what this man done. And guess what? This man was not yet finished. Look what he done next. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence. Now listen what these 2 pence, I was reading about the 2 pence. It said it's 24 and 48 days of room and board. What he gave this man was 24 and 48 days of room and board. He took that out of his pocket. And then this is what he told the man and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Come on, somebody. This man gave him more than enough and say, when I come again, if it wasn't enough, I will repay thee. Who does that? Say, God ain't finished with me yet. Really? What Christian does that? Because this is what we say, every joint, supply. But this man didn't wait on nobody else. He did what was needed. Why? Because he was compassionate. Because he had pity. He had sympathy. And one thing I can say, I don't think this man, after he did it, went and talked about what he done. Sister Tulu didn't have no food. So I went and bought Sister Tulu some food. And then after I bought Sister Tulu the food, I didn't just eat the food there. I cooked up the food. Who would leave this food and wouldn't cook it up for the lady? You know, I did that for Sister Tulu. So before I left Sister Tulu, after I fed her, I saw that Sister Tulu clothes would be washed. So I washed Sister Tulu clothes. And then when I looked around, Sister Tulu bed wasn't made up. So I made up Sister Tulu bed. Then I looked at Sister Tulu, and Sister Tulu didn't have a bath in I don't know how many days. So I threw Sister Tulu in the tub, and I dried Sister Tulu off. Then I looked at Sister Tulu hair. Sister Tulu hair was tore up. So I combed Sister Tulu hair. Then I looked back down, and I saw Sister Tulu nails on her toes need to be trimmed. Who would do that but me? So I trimmed Sister Tulu toenail. I did all that for Sister Tulu. And the reason why I done it for Sister Tulu, because I got compassion in my heart, Ann. So it's all about you and not Sister Tulu, because I was all in it. So we want to get recognized for what we done. And that's not what Jesus did. Jesus did what he had to do. And he went on after he did it. He didn't stop everywhere and say, by the way, I had mercy on that leper. You know, a leper don't even supposed to be seen in public. But he asked me if I was willing to heal him. Jesus was telling him to go to the priest. Don't tell people what I've done. He said, just go to the priest and let the priest check you out. And then he told, who was the man that he told? Don't go tell nobody what I've done. And then they went and told it. Jesus wasn't looking for no recognition. He knew what God sent him to do. Come on, y'all. We need to get in front of this altar and stretch out far as we can and say, God, forgive me. Because we all do it. We all want people to know what I done. But this man done this, and this is what Jesus said. Which now of these three thinketh thou was knave unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. He gave that parable to let this man know that's who your neighbor is. The one do basically the will of the Father. And this is what Jesus is saying. The first thing that Nehemiah had to have was compassion. He had to have pity. He had to have sympathy on those Jews. And by him doing that, he can begin to cry out. Some of us can't even cry out on nobody else's behalf because we really don't care what they're going through. But Nehemiah cared. Jesus cared.
Thank you for tuning in to our broadcast on today. If you have a testimony on how this broadcast has truly blessed your life, please call us at 866-907-6836. If you would like a copy of the teaching in its entirety, you may contact us at 8. You may write us at Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, Post Office Box 1042, Bergall, North Carolina 28425. Visit us on the internet at www.mtdm.org.